Welcome, everybody, to Yang Night of Face Rocker Podcast. I'm Freddie, joined by the usual gang. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Wait, I thought you were going to introduce us this time.
Matt here, sitting to my right.
Hello.
Des Dolly to my left.
Yeah.
And across from me, Logan Olson.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Logan.
Some quick news. If you guys are Android and or iPhone users, the Face Rocker Podcast, as well as Logan, your podcast, To the Effin' Future.
What about the third podcast?
That one, not yet. Because there's not enough episodes. But both of those are now available on the Stitcher app, which is a streaming podcast app.
That's a sweet app.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening on your phones, if you got commutes, if you jog and listen to podcasts, check us out. We're on the Stitcher app now. And give us a little rating on that. We're also on iTunes now. Finally, everything's been worked out. And if you happen to be on iTunes and listening to this, give us a rating as well. That helps us out. That helps the podcast grow. That gets us on those top 100 podcast charts. Logan, you're on iTunes now too, by the way. You could tell all your parents, your friends, everything.
For the future thing, or just like I've got like some sweet jams on there?
Do you have sweet jams on iTunes?
No, but maybe you're referring to, there's another Logan Olson who like has a whole magazine called like Logan's World. And whoa. it's a woman with disabilities who has a whole magazine devoted to other women with disabilities or something. So is that what you're referring to?
You know what that is? I thought you had a strange speech impediment. No, I have strange, it. Yeah. I picked it up. It's rubbing off.
Why would that be what Freddie was referring to?
Maybe he's just making a joke.
Yeah.
What do we now?
Well, maybe we're just making a really tasteless, crappy joke, guys.
Now, Freddie, I have a valid question. Let's do we search on iTunes to find To the Effin' Future podcast?
You can search To the Future, or you can search Rocket Jump, and these are all categorically under the Rocket Jump podcast.
If my mom was to search for Logan Olson, would she find it?
She'd probably find this weird disabled magazine thing, and she might think weirdly of you.
Darn.
So yeah, if you're on iTunes, if you're listening on our site, go ahead and subscribe to us, and please give us a rating. It helps us out. And finally, last bit of business, we're going to give an experiment here with the Amazon Associates program. So if you go to rocketjump.com/Amazon, we're going to have a page there where it's going to basically be Amazon.com. You can search for stuff. You can buy stuff. But here's the thing. Every single time you buy something, it gives us a percentage of your sale, but it doesn't add anything to what you're paying. So if you're going to get like, you know, $10 a hard drive or something, you're going to pay the same amount. But if you go through our site, rocketjump.com/Amazon, you give us a little bit of love, and it helps us build out the podcast, get guests, build out our recording space, et cetera, et cetera. So
it's a good way to support us without actually having to spend money.
It should be noted, we don't see a dime of that. And by we, I mean Logan Olson doesn't see a single dollar.
Logan gets free beer.
You will. Well, to be fair,
it's
Logan,
not even free beer. I paid for this beer.
This is your
beer.
But
Logan, to be fair, none of us have seen any dimes from these podcasts. So you're not missing out right now.
So there you go, guys. This is a nonprofit podcast, yes, and it's going to stay that way until we make money.
Isn't that everything?
That's a resolution.
That's the way
I've ever heard one.
Yeah, so, we're going to give a shot to see how that goes. We're going to experiment around with that, but check it out. It would be like if you went to Starbucks, and it was like, by the way, if you just use this door to come into Starbucks, you could benefit a cause that you believe in.
We're not really a cause.
Yeah, that's true. No. Well, that's a bad analogy. It was doomed from the start.
We just want people with,
Will any of that money go to charity?
Well, that's awkward.
That's awkward.
Do you guys have a charity of choice?
The Human Fund.
Money is that a real thing?
Money for people.
But like, no,
money.
Really, like, like they always do the charity of choice. What's your guys' charity of choice?
Something cancer related. I would go with something cancer related. Anything cancer related.
I'm a big fan of the Heifer Foundation, which is a charity that hooks up, like, instead of like giving food and stuff like that to malnourished, you know, villages in Africa, they give them goats and animals and livestock and the training to handle goats and chickens and stuff like that. So it's actually like a sustainable thing. It's not like a one-time, you know, drop off of a bunch of food or something like that.
It's the teaching the man to fish rather than give him a fish.
Give
him a goat and teach him how to goat herd.
The goat fund.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm a big fan of those guys. Logan, do you have a charity that you're a fan of?
No, that's why I'm asking. I'm shopping around now.
Shopping around for charities. Got some money burned a hole in my pocket. Feel like people could use it.
Whatever's at the grocery store at the moment. That's usually.
There's usually a guy out there. Well, there's a guy out front with a plastic bucket.
Well, to be honest, I mean, did you guys do volunteer work in high school? I feel like this is something a lot of our listeners could relate to. What was your, Freddie, do you have any more housekeeping or are we diving in?
Oh, no, that's it. Let's go in.
So, what, like, did you guys ever volunteer in high school?
I did. Mm-hmm. I was in Boy Scouts until my midway through my sophomore year in high school.
You Eagle Scout?
No, I was 2 merit badges and my final project away from Eagle Scout. My Scoutmaster retired, and the new guy that came in was not
was
very
a rapist.
Fun.
So
yeah, just not where I was going with that. No, and, you know, he wasn't very cool. We didn't get along with him, so we decided to call it quits. But yeah, we did our fair share of work.
That's a shame, because if you're an Eagle Scout, don't you get like benefits on your car insurance and get into like great schools and like everything just turns
there's
around
like a hand,
for you, right?
There's a handshake or something that gets you.
I don't think that's the case as much anymore.
No,
I feel like Boy Scouts have declined.
It's like being a soldier. It's kind of like used to be a cool thing, but now it's like, I'm sorry.
I could be wrong. Actually, if people are in Boy Scouts right now, let me know. But it was a big deal when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But our diocese or whatever got rid of Cub Scouts like right as I was moving in. Or got rid of Boy Scouts as I was in Boy Scouts.
That's too bad.
The guy left and nobody took his place.
I always thought, why don't Boy Scouts do something to compete with those damn Girl Scouts and their cookies? Right? It's like they're just sitting there. They got all this cash from these cookies. These Boy Scouts don't do anything. They just go around camping.
They got gift wrapping, and they have other stuff.
Gift wrapping?
They're just not giving people cookies. They do other stuff.
I mean, I think we sold candy, but it was
cheese candy.
It was weak.
It's not iconic like the Girl Scout cookies.
Exactly.
You're right. They do need to identify that iconic thing, especially since they're hurting because of the whole that whole gay controversy. There was just a development this week about that, right?
I think they need to fix that before they figure out
it's a thing
what
to
their
be
cookies
fixed.
Are. Is that problem? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think that is actually priorities are correct there, Matt.
Yes.
Speaking of Girl Scouts, did you guys hear about the new Girl Scout badge, which I think is super badass for all our lady listeners out there?
Nope. Both of them. Yeah. Mm. What is it?
Game design badge.
How did they get it?
By coding and designing a video game.
Like any game?
Yeah, it's for Girl Scouts.
I mean,
like little girls are they're
can
like
they do,
encouraging
like, bullshit?
Them.
Like RPG Maker?
Or you know, I need to look into it a little bit, but I think they actually have to learn C++ and OpenGL. And,
what?
Just
no,
to get
I'm
a
just
patch.
Messing with you, bro.
There's no
I don't
way.
Know what it is.
No way.
It's probably just fucking RPG Maker. This is a real thing. You guys talk about your charities. I'll look it up.
You're the one who brought the
charities.
You guys think about your charities.
You guys do a podcast thing. I'm going to be over here on the internet.
Des, I was curious. What are your merit badges under?
Oh, gosh. I have a whole sash. Gosh, I haven't looked since I was 17 or 18. But
like, what are the categories? Like what's the one you're most proud of?
Most proud of? I was a fine archer.
What? I do not picture you.
I am an excellent archer. Excellent archer. I was a sharpshooter with a 22.
What sort of
I
archery?
Was damn good.
Compound or?
Yeah, compound bow.
Man,
I'm pretty good with a longbow too. But yeah, we use the compound.
Let's go archering.
So I was watching.
Let's go archery.
Arching.
Well, they have a couple places in LA where you can go in really early in the morning and they'll teach you how to do archery. And all their websites now say you have to get here 2 hours early. So you have to get there like 6 a.m., 5 a.m. on a Sunday because of the popularity of Hunger Games. People have gotten like into this archery craze. So now all these places are just packed to the gills with just like girls wanting to be like Katniss.
We went for Feast of Fiction for Jimmy did that Hunger Games one and it was packed. We got there at 6 in the morning. It took like
it did look busy
2 hours
video.
Before we got our first shot off.
And you only got to shoot once and that was it.
This was in Pasadena, the free one?
No, it's like 40 minutes away. I don't know where that is.
I'm surprised the archery places.
I think Griffith Park area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm surprised the archery things, they always have like the target at the end and it's like, okay, everyone stop and go. They should have like Viking themed things. Like they should have a pond with a boat with a corpse in it and you're going to try and like shoot in the air and like give a guy
simulated
like,
Viking
a simulated
funeral.
Viking funeral.
Yeah.
And it's like little paper mache things. If you hit it, it goes, I feel like there's many things archery ranges could do.
You got to pay $4.99 for the course.
Speaking of archery, the Ren Fair is happening right now. The world's first Ren Fair.
If you guys want to go, I think I'm going to go the weekend after this one.
Okay.
If you guys want to go to the Ren Fair.
Do you have an outfit and everything?
No, but we should discuss the Ren Fair at length here, like talking about the different subcategories. Have you guys been to the Ren Fair?
I went in high school.
I went last year, and Des, this is the one to go to, because this one in Southern California that's going on right now is the original one. It's the one that kicked off the whole Ren Fair thing.
Okay.
And they make a big deal about it, and it's so sexual.
It should be telling that it's not the Renaissance Fair, it's the Renaissance Pleasure Fair. And it features on the poster a man like doing crystal ball juggling like David Bowie in Labyrinth.
While juggling his own crystal balls.
Yes.
Interesting.
Really quickly, the Girl Scout thing.
Okay.
Turns out they're using a version of GameStar mechanic. Okay. Which is a game published by the organization E-Line, which was kind of like RPG Maker, Game mm-hmm. Maker-ish. It was actually by, I think, Eric Zimmerman was the guy who did that.
Who's Eric Zimmerman?
Eric Zimmerman is the co-author of The Rules of Play, which is one of the foundational game techs out there. I mean, Eric Zimmerman is the head of the game program at NYU, maybe? Mm-hmm. So kind of a big deal in educational video games, yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Rev is great because the first thing you go when you see there is just like, oh, there's wares for sale, and wow, there's a lot of women there's some contraption, some medieval contraption that is pushing their
busts. It's called a corset.
Yeah, it's called a bra and a corset.
Well, it's just like... It's not
medieval contraption. They have them now.
They're modern contraption.
No, yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like you need to take... There's something else going on here.
So here's what's interesting about the Renaissance Pleasure Fair. There's like these clicks.
Renpleffer?
Huh?
So the Renpleffer?
The Renpleffer.
Renpleffer?
Renpleffer?
Yeah.
Sorry. RPF? Yes. So there's the people who dress like they're from the Renaissance. There's the people who dress like they're from medieval times, like in knight's gear, and you're like, well, okay, you're there's the Romans, and you're like, way off, but okay.
Interesting. It is in the past, technically. Yes,
there's a ton of pirates now, all dressed like Jack Sparrow, and you're like, all right, okay.
And they
all kind of walk like Jack Sparrow.
And there's they got ale swinging it about.
There's the pixies, where it's just women in like leather bikinis, but who've covered themselves in colored paint.
What?
Yes, yeah. And they just kind of like mill about on the ground.
You're
and
like,
whip
I don't
around.
Know if you what? Could have pulled this off back in.
They wiggle on the ground?
Yes, it's very sexual. Yes, literally all day. And then
what are they waiting for?
For people to come up and admire them. And then there's there's a few Altairs from Assassin's Creed.
It's actually a little bit strange because there's multiple ones, which kind of throws the whole canon into question.
And then there's a few Doctor Who's who thought they were Mr. Funny. Funny yep. guys.
That
would have been me.
Many Doctor
that
Who's.
That would have been me.
Next to the Doctor Who's often steampunk guys with the Nerf Maverick.
But what's so amazing about the steampunk is like people reluctantly accept them as the next generation. Like they're like, well, we have to accept these people or else our thing is
we're
over.
We're screwed, yeah.
You know the funny thing about steampunk is that I wonder if Nerf knew that when they made that revolver, the Nerf Maverick, that was just going to be bought by every single cosplaying, steampunking, like video making person to like spray paint it in a bronze tint and put a watch chain on it and call it a day.
But couldn't that go for a Nerf gun for all cosplaying things? Like, they are the de facto sci-fi gun if you need to make a sci-fi gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that demographic you said. It was steampunking, video-making...
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, something to that effect.
Really quickly, I want to mention the last subcategory of Renaissance Pleasure Fair goer, which is the kilt bro.
Kilt bro?
Kilt bro. Which are bros in kilts and wife beaters carrying around steins of beer who are all frat dudes.
Okay.
It's amazing how many kilt bros go to Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
And so all of these people coalesce at the Ren Fair, the Renpla Fair, and what happens? What do
they
do?
There's a lot of shops. There's a lot of like places selling like old wares. There's like, a wooden comb. A glass dildo. Both of these things
are... So it's the LA Hipster Fair.
A little bit. A lot of bongs and dildos.
Really?
Actually.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't see a single one of those
because
dildos.
You're not going to any...
You wouldn't be... Logan wouldn't have missed those.
I don't know.
Are you sure they're
Matt.
There? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you would notice them.
It's turkey legs,
bongs, and dildos.
Bongs and dildos.
Freddie just took a wrong turn and just.
Like, I went down Dildo Alley.
Classic section of the rest of
it. It's like, yes, every city in medieval England had a Dildo Alley.
So there are a ton of like little shops, and they all again like have their specialties. So there's some steampunk shops. There's like the leather goods shops.
Every single one that's on Etsy, by the way, at some point.
Yes, and so my favorite shop is actually the dragon puppet shop, which is just tons of dragon puppets with pneumatic powering things. So you put the dragon on your shoulder, strap to your shoulder, and then run a pipe down your shirt so you can power the dragon from your waist. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat.
Power
the dragon from your waist.
And how do you do that exactly?
It's just a little pull tube. You just yank it at your waist.
You just yank the dragon that you're powering
from your waist.
Ladies, power the dragon from your waist.
Only at the Ren.
And what's amazing is there's a giant food court. But they and they don't just feature like they have your standard mead and beer
and turkey legs.
And turkey legs, but there's also like a lineage of other food court places that popped up, and they tell you when they came from. So there's like the Gyro Hut from 1980, or like Stan's Mexican Joint from 1973.
Chick-fil-A from 2004.
Absolutely, and like the paint's literally just like crackling off of them.
Oh, and don't forget, there's multiple, and two other things I miss. There's like carnival-esque games where it's like, try your luck at throwing knives, wastrel, and just like dull pieces of metal that you huck at bales
but
of hay.
But what's amazing is it's not just knives. They have throwing knives, throwing archery, spears, archery.
Yeah.
And ninja stars, which I did, the ninja star one.
Ninjas in the Renaissance.
Yeah, ninja stars is a weird one. You're like, okay, all right, all right.
We've been talking about this for like 10 minutes. Can you say a single good thing? Like
all these are great. All these are wonderful.
Really? No, yes. All these are, you'll have the time of your life.
We started with, hey, you guys gotta go, and then you just described shit for like
no, 10 minutes
of just like there's the worst.
It does sound like shit.
It does sound like shit.
There's something about the juxtaposition of all of these things in an outdoor environment that's actually incredibly amusing and fun to do. Because you're like, hell!
Juggalos? Are there juggalos?
I think a lot of the steampunk. Oh, there are the barbarians, which are like the juggalos of the Ren Fair that all dress in like Hot Topic raver gear and act like the barbarians.
Okay, I figured as much.
Okay, now I'm going.
And I'm in.
And here's the other thing. When you walk around, you'll see some of these costumes, and they are, honest to God, some of the most impressive stuff you've ever seen. It's like some dude who looks like, you know, some like 7-foot-tall dude, and you're like, holy crap, everything that you're wearing, it looks like a custom piece from something. The guys clearly built this costume. So there's a lot of cool people watching in terms of like...
I think I just don't get into conventions. When we went to PAX or E3, I get bored in an hour. Like of any convention, mm-hmm. if there's like more than 100 people and you're just staring at stuff,
here's
it's all
the difference,
commercialized.
Though.
I'd rather be at home.
This is different than a Comic Con or something of that nature, mm-hmm. because it's not just vendors trying to sell you collectibles. It's a lot of people who want to show off their character, and a lot of people role playing, like live action role playing, which
that's
is different.
A lot of PAX though too.
No. But the difference is PAX is at the end of the day, you're in some convention center, and over there is the nacho stand, and there's the escalators.
Oh, so
the
Ren Fair is not a commercialized thing. It's just a happy accident.
I'm saying it's in a field. Everything is like it's kind of period. No, it's kind of period in terms of the appearance and stuff. Look, it's like walking through Disneyland.
Well,
do you get tired of walking through Disneyland?
I do.
Heartless. Oh,
I do.
My gosh.
It's a little dazed and confused because they actually hold it like in the middle of the like a kind of worn out 1970s suburb.
Yeah.
So it just feels like you should be listening to Black Sabbath the whole time. It definitely feels like you're stepping into an earlier era all the way down to like the people who are not in costume but crew wear like sort of like those strange like iron-on letter versions of staff t-shirts that again feel like you're just walking into like half-baked or something.
So it's, what are you going to be when you go?
Oh, I just grab myself.
Oh, can you do
I
that?
Have the hair. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the other thing is that I was walking around there last year when I went and like I turned a corner and it was like I walked into like an encampment from the 15th century. It was like because people like asleep there and they had tents and they had like all the period specific like cots and like you know war stuff. It was weird. It's like walking onto Game of Thrones like anywhere.
It's really sexual. They do not just sleep. Like it's legendary for how kind of grotesquely like pleasure fairish.
I think that's the other I knew a guy who did like the Ren Fair. He was not a guy I would associate myself with, and all of his stories were. I was always just like, okay, that sounds like hell on earth, where you buy turkey legs in between. Like,
Matt, I encourage you
maybe I'll go with Logan here.
You should come with me. We're actually taking a large group, so you should join.
All right.
But the other thing we should talk about is the Society for Creative Anachronism.
Yes.
SCA. So are you guys familiar with SCA?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Freddie, it sounds like you might be.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. Go for it, though.
Have you actually like gone and done it?
No, I've not.
So Society for Creative Anachronism is basically like the hardcore NFL of LARPing, where it's like dudes who take like giant
hardcore NFL.
Well, yeah, as opposed to foam like armor and foam swords, it's like dudes with giant wooden bats and steel armor going at each other until they have concussions. And they in Pennsylvania every year they have like tens of thousands of people battle in fields. So it literally turns into like a full on like
who does this?
War. The Society for Creative Anachronism.
Psychos. Or
yeah,
psychos.
Like, who are these people?
I think it's LARPers who want to take it to the next level.
at what point, by the way, does it go?
Anger issues.
Well, I mean, a certain point, you know, it's like you're not satisfied with just bruises. You do want to break your wrists when you're, you know, yeah.
You want to.
Yeah. Or at least there's something like, you know, it's kind of like switching from Nerf to Kendo. Like, you just kind of, it's time to, like, step it up. You know, you're a man now.
You're talking about Nerf swords.
Do you
right?
think there's, like, a return in general, just, like, people wanting to do more, like, physical or old fashioned sort of stuff with, like, the digital world kind of like overcoming. Like even board games kind of picking back up compared to video games.
I think it's people understanding that that is acceptable. Like have we talked about bronies and like the internet making
like
things acceptable?
Yeah, no more bronies.
Well, I'm just saying what it comes down to is I think people are realizing that they shouldn't be ashamed to engage in imaginative play. Mm-hmm. To use the official term, which is something that we reserve for usually like 5 to 6 year olds. I think adults are like, oh, wait, I can do this and not be made fun of.
And well, I'm an adult. Yeah.
Or you may be made fun of, but you'll have enough people who are with you. So
solidarity.
And then to be fair, LARPing is a shitload of fun.
I've always thought it would be.
Guys, let's LARP. You should put on a rocket jump LARP.
We could do it.
I'd be down. I mean,
why don't you just do a VGHS LARP for whatever the in-game game is, like at an airsoft place.
That has guns.
But there's airsoft LARPs.
That's the funny thing. Is that I remember thinking, being like, LARP is stupid. And then I remember sitting like at this airsoft place, and I'm like, okay, you know, you gotta have the tac vest and stuff. And I look to my left, and there's a guy's like, okay, that is the Russian military uniform. And the guy to the right is like, that is the military uniform. That okay, everything is period specific to Vietnam. And I was like, this is just LARP. This is just LARP with BB guns. Like, there's no different. And it's like, it's actually a lot of fun, man. You should give it a shot.
So yeah, that's my suggestion for you guys: is raise awareness for season 2 by doing a VGHS in-game LARP. For what is it called? Field of Fire or Fire Beans and
Fire
War?
Beans.
Fire Beans.
Fire Beans. That was
That's
it.
What it is now.
Nailed it.
Field of Fire.
Field of Fire.
So Matt couldn't let that go.
I was just
Fire Beans.
Yeah. Watching him stew on it.
I know. It's not
I was actually
beans.
Just trying to fill dead air, and it just spit out of my mouth.
So can we talk about your Kickstarter beef?
Yeah. So for people who don't realize, just this morning, Zach Braff put up his Kickstarter for his own film. What's it called?
Garden State.
Garden State 2.
Garden State 2.
It was the sequel to Garden State.
Tell Me You Are There or something like
you
that.
You Tell Me You Are There, the Garden State story.
I'll be honest, I didn't think it was a great name. And I'm still actually a fan of Garden State. I rewatched it and thought it still held up pretty well.
So he put the Kickstarter up, and it had quite a bit of momentum last time
I
checked.
800,000, like, yeah, really quickly.
Yeah, within the first day. So, Matt, it sounds like you have some beef.
Cue the fight music.
I think there's an interesting response to, and it might be because people dislike, I don't know what's going on
what
out there.
What is that noise?
I think a lot of it has to do with people disliking Zach Braff, but there's an element of it with Veronica Mars. And there's just this weird, Kickstarter's kind of creating this weird attitude that to me is really similar to disliking a band when they become popular, where it's like, Zach Braff's rich, he's famous, why the fuck, and he's guaranteed to sell this movie, why does he get Kickstarter? I hate him, this is unacceptable. Which is insane, because he still has to make the movie. The fans are still paying for it like anything else. It's not a donation. You're essentially buying. I mean, it is a donation, but you're getting something in return.
Yeah,
and what is he supposed to do, spend $800,000 of his own money? No matter how rich you are, like, unless he's freaking sitting on $50 million, you don't spend $800,000 of your own money. And he's going to sit there and make a movie for a year of his life. It's this really bizarre, like, do you know what it is? It's bad. I feel like, and Will said this, most bloggers who hate this are because there are a lot of them are frustrated filmmakers that wish they could do a Kickstarter to get $800,000, and it's this like knee-jerk response to, oh, this guy's rich, there's no reason he should do a Kickstarter, and it's unacceptable that he's getting this money. And then people were complaining that he's going to sell the movie and make millions of dollars off of it. Of course he is. That's what you do with a movie. You sell it.
I think maybe a question to be asked when you're talking about Kickstarters, why does the public think you're doing a Kickstarter? And I think most people who think of Kickstarter, including myself, the only reason I would think otherwise is because I know you guys. When you look at a Kickstarter, you view it as, oh, it's because they didn't have another means
to
do
this. Yeah, they need it. It's a need thing.
It's a need thing. It's like, oh, you know, if he was more popular. Examples, until this happened with you, Veronica Mars, and Zach Braff, most high-profile Kickstarters that had a celebrity component, to my knowledge, did not do well. At least the one that pops into my mind is Neil Stephenson trying to pitch a sword-fighting game.
And the ones for film did well. Andy Kaufman had the second one.
Okay.
Who was it? The film ones did okay. It had varying success because Neil Gaiman did a great one for a book, I believe.
But they tell you, first off, doesn't matter what people think Kickstarter is or what it could be, because it can obviously do a number of things. Kickstarter shifted pretty greatly with a lot of those companies. Because, well, the problem with what you just said is –
when you say need, there's no other way to do it. Of course there is. They're asking for a way to kickstart a certain way of doing things. So creatively.
No. I think, Logan, you're talking about perspective, though.
Yeah, I'm not talking about what is realistic.
No, so
I'm talking about
what
people,
is right.
Yeah, I'm talking about what people view.
And there's two things. There's one, it's a need. And number two, I've seen a lot of people being like, so wait, what do you get out of this? Is it an invest? They see it as like, oh, this is an investment, so you should get a return on it. Like, why don't you get a return on it? This is stupid. And they write it off right away, which is dumb because it's like, okay, so when you go to Best Buy and buy a movie, do you sit around and be like, I contributed this to Universal. Do I get some Universal stock out of this?
No,
where's my return on my investment on this DVD? It's like, no, that's not how it works. You're essentially treating Kickstarter as you put money down and you're getting a product in return. I got a huge argument with this guy on Reddit on this because it was like, the guy was like, psh, Kickstarter is a donation platform, dude, and most of the donations come because people are not expecting the problem. Like, that's categorically false. As much as Kickstarter as a company likes to say this and wants to say this, as much as everybody who defends Kickstarter goes straight to this, everybody I hear all the time says Kickstarter is a donation platform. It's like a Medici level support the arts, feel good about supporting individual artists. And that's what it was 2 years ago when I first saw it, when my friend was funding a documentary to go to Africa for a few grand. And I saw another sort of documentary pitch for $2,000. But the moment that games started to come down, and the moment that people said, hey, what you're getting is at $15, at $25, you're getting a copy of this, you're getting the digital download, you're getting whatever, it turned into people treating it like, hey, this is a pre-order platform, as much as they don't want to say it. And the thing is, the one thing that actually I was kind of disappointed about with the Zach Braff Kickstarter was that generally at the $25 level, and almost unanimously true for all projects that aren't like live performance art projects, at the $25 you get the physical copy of whatever it is, be it digital download, be it DVD or whatever. And he kind of copped out, frankly. He copped out on the excuse for why he isn't doing a DVD, because he's saying, I'm not doing a DVD because of distribution. That's like, okay, well, then just do the DVD later after your distribution window
opens.
Look,
but that's fine. That's his decision as
seller,
that's
his decision.
And people are deciding.
Yeah, yeah. And
what I'm getting at is the perception of what Kickstarter is isn't as important as – it's like the same issue people have when they say, like, why does Tom Cruise get $20 million for a movie? Well, because Tom Cruise is in a movie, that movie makes at least $20 million more is how that's calculated. And it's this weird perception between people want art and they want to have it, and they want it for free. They don't want to pay for it often. And then the moment, like, money comes into the situation, it becomes dirty and weird to them, which is – so counterproductive, because artists can't freaking live unless they make money off of it. So Zach Braff was a no-name, and he pitched the same idea, and he was going to make no money off of it. He's like, hey, guys, I'm going to work for 2 years of my life. I'm not going to make anything. My family's probably going to starve, and I'm not going to hang out with my friends at all, and I'm going to struggle for this. They'd be like, okay, let's support this. But since it's a guy who's not poor and is going to make money off of this, they're like, well, this is wrong. Like, we shouldn't support this. But that's no different than when you go buy a DVD. You're giving money to the artist also.
Well, I think a lot of people look at artists and they're like, well, they're doing something that is not traditionally considered work. They're not putting in the 9-to-5. They're not necessarily doing manual labor. Therefore, because of that, that should be the whole purpose
of it. They should
be happy
they're doing it.
They should be just doing that and just be able to subsist only on that. It's like, there's of course a certain, there, that is the case, I would argue, to a certain extent.
Freddie, you had
for
the,
everything that you do.
You literally had the same response. There's people on NeoGAF who was like, isn't Freddie rich? Why can't Freddie spend $800,000 himself? It's wrong for him to go ask fans, which is insane, because if somebody's giving you money up front, it's like the best way art could possibly work.
Yeah. Again, it's understanding, it's how you perceive Kickstarter. And to what Freddie said earlier, they do not view it as a pre-order platform. They do not view it, they view it largely as a donation or support platform.
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
I think most people view it as a pre-order platform. I would argue, in fact, the most successful projects are the ones that effectively convey a pre-order type of message. And the ones that fail, especially in this current environment, are the ones that are like, hey, donate to my album and you get a thank you card. By and large, you look at where the donations go. The money speaks for itself. You look at where the donation goes. Most of it goes towards the one that gets the product, that whatever it is that's being advertised at the time.
But do you think that works even if – so here's the thing with the Zach Braff is I don't think it's a how dare you ask for money because you're doing something that I perceive not as work. I think it's how dare you ask money directly to me because you should go to a studio.
But why should you go to a studio? That's what's weird.
I think that's how people perceive it. It's like they perceive that – you're supposed to, for a movie, if you can, go to a larger entity and not me individually if you're a Zach Braff and not a web person.
Well, if I could pile on this plate, I feel like a lot of the arguments that I read today had more to do with the people questioning whether the fans are being taken advantage of.
Well, selling it twice was when I saw
it. Exactly. You're selling it twice, and the fact that in this Zach Braff scenario, you're not getting anything in return when you're essentially, quote unquote, investing in a film. If you weren't doing it on Kickstarter, you would be investing in a project and you would get some sort of return
on that. You're not investing if you're spending $50. That's not, I mean, you're investing, but it's not, I don't think anybody expects to have some sort of return on it when they're spending this low amount of money.
So maybe I misunderstand.
That's a matter of perception, this. Though, because I financed an independent feature-length film and I sold shares for a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, but to be fair, your film you're talking about, you're going to family and friends. You came at it as an investment, and you're talking about $30,000. What we're talking about is you can watch his video. He's very clear as to what this is. And a lot of the responses, they don't like the idea that he may make money off of this, which is weird because this is a
I don't think it's that he's going to make money off of it, though. It's the fact that he's going to make money off of it, and everyone else who supported him and made that possible gets no token for what they did to contribute.
That's the case with all art.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you get the product.
You go and you buy a movie ticket. You don't. That's essentially you invested in that movie.
I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying,
but it comes to a weird. If he was like, I will guarantee to not make any money, people may not be problematic with it, which is insane because there's, of course, art should be for art's sake. But at the end of the day, a real artist or somebody who wants to continue making art has to make money. The reason they have to make money is so they can keep making art. That's the only reason we try to make money.
So I saw essentially two arguments against him, or the two threads that were against it was, number one, double selling, which people had issues with.
What do you mean by that?
By saying, here, I want to get financed, and none of these reward tiers actually include a movie ticket. So when it does come out, So the reward tiers.
They had private screenings.
It was weird. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was one of those ones where there's a level of expectation when it comes to Kickstarter, and the expectation is at around $25, which is the most popular pledge level. You get something out of it, and what you got at $25 was it's not clear at all how this is going to work, by the way. But what was stated is you get a screening that's an online screening for it. But again, with Kickstarter, and I think what people want is they want a physical object for. So the first thing I saw was that people said, hey, you're double selling this. We're funding this already, and I'm going to have to pay for the ticket. Again, which is like kind of a weird assumption.
But they don't fund it. People who funded it clearly were okay with giving him money and finding it later. So the idea of double selling is the idea of people are too stupid to figure out like what they're buying. No, they know they're spending $25 and not get a screening of it.
Yeah. But that's what they're saying. That was the thing, was they felt like, hey, if I'm giving you $25, it was basically a mismatch in what the value proposition was, which was they felt like, if I'm doing $25, I bet you that this entire thread gets killed pretty hard. If it was at $25, you get a digital download of the movie. And again, because his argument, I think some people were like, this doesn't make any sense, because Veronica Mars did the same thing, which was, hey, you'll get a ticket to the movie when it comes out, or you'll get the DVD of the movie when the DVD comes out. And so, like, okay, so Veronica Mars could do it. But then he was saying, well, I can't offer the DVD because of distribution deals, blah, blah, blah. So
I pretty much completely buy that, because the difference is Veronica Mars, they knew they were going to Warner Brothers.
Hold on, Matt. But you're coming from a perspective of a guy who is sitting around in Hollywood and has worked at a studio. Think about it from the perspective coming to it.
But what do we want to argue? What perspective of people who don't understand the situation are, or what the perspective should be and how you change that?
You're right. I would say
people will shift that way. That's the problem with the perception.
There's no argument as to what people perceive. I think it's that we need to get it clear what it is, and then how it should be as a separate topic entirely. But the perception is, hey, Veronica Mars came out for $25, you got some physical thing from it, and this one came out almost right afterwards, soon enough that people are remembering it, and they're like, wait, this is weird. How come Veronica Mars did this, and how come this one doesn't?
I just pretty much never heard that complaint about it. And I wouldn't buy it, because it's like, then you just don't fund it. Most of the complaints I heard...
Oh, but come on. Are you telling me that the internet is a place where if someone has the option to simply walk away and ignore it, that they will simply do so? That's not how people work on the internet.
I know, they need to...
They just sit there. They got graffiti, their thoughts on the wall, and then leave it in a fiery inferno behind them.
We have talked about that too, which there's a problem with culture, which is you just a person, the fact that they're going to buy something is already happened. Like, I'm going to buy Gears of War. It's already happened. I'm going to buy the next Gears of War because I'm a Gears of War fan. Yeah. So if it isn't the product I want, they've stolen my $60, which is insane. Like, that's the most entitled thing you could possibly do. It's like, no, just don't buy the next Gears of War.
No, I think part of it is because the games industry doesn't have tons and tons of releases. It's not like there's a new, it's not like summer comes around and every week there's a new game that comes out that everyone's like talking about. That's a blockbuster essentially. Yeah. So when those do come around, it's like, oh, this is a big deal. I've been waiting for a long time for this. Therefore, the Sense of Entitlement comes out. I bet you that starts to change as the game industry matures and you just get more.
Because you've never seen somebody like, Marvel stole my money because I didn't like the movie. It's like you just didn't like the movie, or you didn't pay to see it.
Yeah, I've felt that way though, not at Marvel movies in particular, but I have had that feeling.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
of what
Michael Bay stealing our money, Pain and Gain's coming out.
I know we're gonna watch
I'm
it.
I'm actually pretty. I'm, excited
I
for
will
it.
Gladly give Michael Bay my money.
Logan, are you gonna come watch it? I haven't seen a midnight movie with you in a while.
It's true. I probably won't be coming at midnight, but I'm trying to convince my girlfriend to go on Friday.
Come
with
on,
me.
Wife beaters.
Come on.
Let's do this.
Come on, wife beaters.
Wife beaters.
Like, that's what you're going to
wear? We'll just chug protein shakes.
Cocoa butter. Just lather ourselves up.
Dennis, have you been exercising to get like prepare for this movie?
No. I have been exercising, but not for Michael Bay movies.
What's your guys' workout regimes? If your fans at home wanted to duplicate your workout regimes, what would
they
do?
I'll tell you right now very simply what I do when I go to the gym. I will walk. I will step onto the treadmill, and I will crank the elevation up to 9, whatever that is.
It's fucking
nine.
Badass, dude.
Badass. I crank it doesn't even go higher than that.
I crank it up to 9.
Like a Sherpa.
And I put it up to 4 miles an hour, and I just truck for
that's
at least
so much
1
faster
hour
than
straight.
The walking average of a human.
1 hour straight, that equates to about 450 to 500 calories. Sometimes I'll jog to get up there. And then when I have extra energy, now I throw a little a little weight circuit in the mix. You just pick up some dumbbells and just move some. Just get active.
You just rearrange them. You know, a lot of times the gyms will have them all over the place. You just set them back for you, and they'll burn a couple of
clean up the
20,
dumbbells
30
on the floor.
Right there.
How about you, Freddie? What's your exercise? What's the Freddie approved exercise regimen?
It's taking a lot of baths, naps. I've actually started doing CrossFit because I need to get fit again. And the most fit I've ever been was actually when we were doing Krav Maga back in the day.
That's like the first month I met you.
I know. It's been a while. It's been a long, slow.
No shit, it's been a while.
It's been a long, like slow, downhill slant down into it. But CrossFit's nice. It's
what is CrossFit?
CrossFit is a bunch of different exercises. It's basically short burst, high intensity type of workout type of thing. It's great because every single time I go, I'm surrounded by people who've been doing it for months, and like they have like the workout of the day, and I can't even get through it. I'm like, I'll get there eventually, and everyone's just like, boom, done, did it under 20 minutes. I'm like, what? I'm like halfway through it.
Is this something I could do on YouTube if I was interested?
Do on you like film can,
I,
on
can
YouTube?
I just, could I YouTube CrossFit and like see a CrossFit regimen?
You need certain things, like you need like kettlebells, you need like a weight. You need like there's certain like, you know, there's squats and stuff. So you need like a weight, access to a set of weights and stuff. But a lot of the stuff is just like running. You can measure out 100 yards and figure that out. So yeah, it's a mix. You need weights.
How about you, Matt? What's your favorite workout?
Favorite workout? Not much. I have finally started when I lost all my weight, which I have now since gained back. I just ran. All my brothers were runners, and my
that's
insane
to me because
actually.
I don't know if anyone knows this, but Matt has a hilarious foot problem.
Yeah, which is weird because I do have a really bad foot problem.
When I think foot problems, I think hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
in Matt's case,
like a club foot that's just like a yak a minute. Like, what are we talking here?
No,
it's a hilarious foot problem.
I broke my big toe.
Wait, Logan, you don't know this?
No.
Well, now everyone's.
Oh, now
everyone.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay.
I mean, I broke.
Let's talk about Matt's feet.
I hope Matt has bound feet.
Wait, Matt, take off your shoes and show Logan.
No, I'm not gonna take off.
Take off your shoes and show Logan.
I'm not gonna take off. I broke my big toe during football and soccer. Like it was one or the other. I was a kicker on football.
The British call it football.
No, I mean both sports. I did. I did a lot of sports as a kid. But I broke my growth plate. I thought I just jammed my big toe, but it actually broke the bone. And my bone grew over my joint. So it's like a big fused. And if you know anything about the way your feet work or the mechanisms of walking, your big toe bends backwards automatically. If you lift your foot up, your big toe bends backwards. And it's all your balance. I can't. So I roll. I have to roll along my big toe. Like you could grab it and try to bend my big toe back. It won't.
It's a giant bone knob.
And
on
even,
the top
even
of his
worse,
foot.
It's a giant bone knob of just broken bones that are like kind of fused. So if you step on it hard enough, it does. But that it does feel like breaking a bone again. I will literally, if you step on my toe, I'll just instantly cry. Like, it feels like breaking my bone because it's all my bones break.
And I remember like you said pussy. The doctor. What did you say, Logan?
Yeah, pussy. Huh? It's just shitty.
We'll see it after this, but the doctor.
I
remember saying.
As I passed out once from nearly after it happened, I stubbed my toe into a curb because an attractive woman was walking by. I turned and looked, stubbed my toe, broke my toe again, and instantly fell to the floor, passed out.
And
when
you and you woke up, and she was standing over you, and you fell in love,
and
you're
married.
Still together, and you're married.
And now we're married. Yes.
No. You said, didn't the doctor say the only way to fix this was they could break it and hope it works?
Yeah, so this was in high school.
I feel like there's a guy out there right now that can fix
your
problem.
Yeah, it might be different now, but back then the only way to fix it, or at least the only way the HMO would fix it, is they would essentially cut the bone out and then add a little sliver, and it would like it like reforms a cartilage, essentially, like scar tissue. But you have to wear a wooden shoe for like 7 months. And like, I had glasses and was already overweight. I wasn't going to be wearing a wooden shoe for 7 months in high school.
Hell no.
So I was like, I'll take the pain and deal with it. I'm just used to it.
It's
a weird feeling.
In retrospect, was the decision to not wear wooden shoes in high school?
I mean, I didn't get any play in high school anyway, so I probably should have done it then than now. Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing. You just get used to it.
Isn't the other option to just cut off your foot entirely?
Probably my toe. I don't know about the whole foot.
If you went through high school in a wooden shoe, you probably would not be the same man that sits before us today.
True.
You would have gone through some serious shit, my friend.
Yeah. That's very possible.
This is coming from Dez, who was in the Midwest. It went literally pushed Juggalos into lockers.
No, this is not.
Literally pushed Juggalos into lockers.
No, that is not true.
Man.
Is it true?
No.
Okay, because he's saying literally.
You told me that you push Juggalos. Was that you just trying to like be all cool?
Probably. Because I was not a bully. I was the guy getting bullied. Sometimes I would try to act tough.
Weren't
as
you
a
class
defense
president?
Mechanism. I was class president.
Okay,
you can't bully the class president.
Yeah, no.
I was a super nerd. Until my junior year, when our wrestling team was doing very well, then all of a sudden everyone knew me, and I came out of my shell, and then I became immensely popular.
This sounds like a retcon. I bet you were like, I think you were like Ferris Bueller for all of high school, and then you met all these fucking film nerds, and so you're like, yeah, I was nerdy too.
No, I was, I had maybe three or four friends until my junior year in high school.
I thought you were going to say, I had maybe three or four women a week, maybe.
Maybe. Mostly on a day-to-day basis.
At most.
Had to schedule with my secretary months
in
advance.
What were you like in high school?
I was super nerdy, bro.
Were you?
Oh, yeah, I was the nerdiest.
When did you become this?
When we stepped into the
Zing!
Booth.
Can I say
that? When did that happen? Is that, like, was college, did you redefine it when you came to college? Like, fuck it. Like, nobody knows who I am. I'm growing my hair out, or did you always have long hair?
I always had long hair, but I had a teacher who forced me to cut it, like, literally in the middle of class. I mean, to be fair, I went to an all-boys Catholic school. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Hey, fist pound for
right.
the
I went to
Catholic school.
Mine wasn't all-boys, but I did
yeah.
do Catholic
yeah,
school.
Yeah,
school.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, no girls. No girls. No girls is kind of a big deal.
I can imagine. But Catholic school has to count for something.
That's probably true.
Uniform.
Probably
uniform like, every day.
Yeah,
the same uniform for 9 years.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, having girls around, obviously, was a big game changer for me.
Yeah.
Hitting puberty like when I was 18, obviously, big game changer as well.
So I actually met one of your coworkers. Had lunch with him, and that was funny because the first thing we talked about was we just started sharing Logan stories. And I hope you know this, that when people both realize that they know you, the first thing that comes out is just a recitation of ridiculous stories they have about you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Logan, can I ask, since you seem to be a man who is well adjusted with females, and now you have a very lovely girlfriend.
I have
been with
a wonderful girlfriend.
Yeah.
I love very much.
Yeah. So, what do you think about all boys school? Because I actually think I want to send, if I have boys, to an all boys school. I've actually grown pretty.
Never.
So no.
In a million years, send a child to a one gender school.
Really?
Absolutely not. Mainly because every single kid who came out, like, I'm probably the only kid who made it. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. All my other friends are on meth and Oceanside. Like,
oh, okay.
They're not.
I had a totally different experience. Like, at USC, the people I met that went to all boys school were, like, very.
No, well, here's the thing. You get a bond for life with other people who went. It's like, you go, like, just you and me, we know something. We know what's up. But that could be argued for prison, and I wouldn't want my kid to go to prison either. So
I feel like I have a similar bond because I grew up with brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they're around the same
mm-hmm.
age.
Yes.
I would not send my kids to an all-boys school. My parents didn't want us having girlfriends when we were in junior high. All my friends in junior high had girlfriends. My parents, my mother specifically, would say, hell no, I don't want you bringing any whores around here. By the time I got to high school, I was so far behind. All my friends that had, you know, just practice of having girlfriends and relationships for 3-4 years, I had to spend a lot of time just catching up.
Did you have sister schools? Did you have any interaction with
girls? We did, but you guys won't believe this, but I'm a fairly introverted person.
Personally, ignoring your friends, like, what do you think it hindered your development with females?
Absolutely. You don't realize that. I mean, when it comes down to it, you do need to conduct yourself differently towards other genders.
Yes.
Like, that's not like I don't mean that in a, like, you should treat them any better or worse, but it is a different code of conduct, even socially, like holding the door open and stuff. And a lot of that stuff, you know, it's kind of like being raised in the jungle. And, like, you got to admit, if you go to an all-boys Catholic school, the number one thing you'll notice is all the boys stop caring about their hygiene, by and large. Like, kids won't shower for days. They'll dress like shit because they have nobody to impress.
And so, a lot of circle
I took that,
jerks.
See, what's weird is I took that all as good things. I feel like in
wait, not showering is a good thing?
No. Not having to sit there and impress girls. I feel like, wait, let me finish. I think boys, when you're in a school with what you're learning is how to treat girls from the worst possible group of people to learn from, which is boys your age.
Possibly,
which are,
but you're also learning from your own personal experiences.
But so
and for the rest of your life, you have to talk to women and you have to impress people as part of your social experience. And you're being,
which I did immediately, like a
fellow. But you may be the exception.
That's maybe fair. So I'm asking Logan. I'm
incredibly jipped.
But that's my experience with all my best friends. All went to all boys school. Best gentlemen I've ever met, as far as like people I know, like the way they treat women. They've had steady girlfriends immediately going to college. Long term relationships, never had any issues.
I don't think that's a signifier of
that's fair.
People.
No. What?
A lot of people have steady girlfriends, and that's because they just don't know how to conduct themselves, how to even get out of something. It's like Valve didn't know how to fire people, so they, you know, they held on to everybody, and then, like, after 10 years, like, oh my god, I'll just fire a quarter of my staff. They didn't know
how to do it.
I think you took
one thing and made that not at all what it is.
Right. But there is something to be said for the idea of, okay, here's development. Puberty happens. Mm-hmm. Puberty things go crazy.
Yes.
I mean, even the person who, I don't remember her name, but the person who started the Montessori school system, mm-hmm. she was like, okay, you know what happened? Puberty, you know what we should do for puberty? Everyone should just go work on a farm for the 3 years of going through puberty because they're not going to learn anything. And then they come back to school after they've done 3 years of farm work and they're done with puberty.
Farm orgy.
To be fair, I learned a lot.
I was about to say, not to mention, that's also education.
About
I don't know.
Myself.
But I'm saying, that's a thing in education, which is like, what do you do during puberty? It's like, all the boys are losing it right now. They got boners all over the place.
And we didn't. We were all boys' school. I don't know. I feel like actually I probably should
You didn't have boners?
Wait, you didn't have?
No, of course. I mean,
We're
surrounded by boys.
Of course, it's natural. Everyone, it's like yawning.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say we didn't.
It's like yawning, Dez. Okay, one person gets a boner, then another. So my dad's a boner. Okay?
I was a boy. I recall
when we had
like
a boner. The only thing we could do is learn. You couldn't. You didn't have to.
I'd argue the only thing you could do is put a notebook over it and pretend it's chill to walk with a notebook at waist height.
How is that different, though? All you can do is learn. What does that mean?
What do you mean? You don't. Your energies are spent on education rather than.
So were mine, though. Only because there's a girl sitting 2 desks behind me. How does that affect my education?
I think that definitely affects how you. I definitely think that affects where your brain's at, what you're thinking about doing next, what you're going to do in between passing periods, etc. Like I feel like you're much more focused. You are a very intelligent, driven person.
I mean, you're like
I'm talking about on average.
I just feel like a distracted child is a distracted child, and if it's not females, you'll fill that void with some other classroom distraction.
No, you will. You'll fill with distraction.
TI-83 calculators.
Boom. There you go. Video games.
Okay, fine. So math or programming. Can't fill it with other distractions.
I think part of the challenge here is that, unfortunately, none of us left one type of school and went to the other. But one thing I will notice in general is that it's one of those hunches you get or things you get from stories, but dudes do sound like they tend to get crueler around girls. And actually, if you ever hear about stories from all-girls schools, all-girls schools are a nightmare.
I've heard really bad things.
This is where it gets really weird because it's like a weird sexist thing. But my Ashley, who went to an all-girls school, she felt the same way. She's like, I don't know.
Ashley? The people listening don't know who
Ashley
is.
My girlfriend. So she was like, I don't know about
the biker chick, right?
She's like your fiance, though, right?
She's not my fiance.
She's like your wife?
That's the chick that saved you after stubbing your toe.
Yeah.
Who's the biker chick? Remember with the tattoos?
Yeah,
she's in the
big biker chick with tattoos.
I don't remember this.
The piercings.
Ashley's
going to
be upset that you're describing her in that way.
No, she heard it last time from Logan.
It's a running joke.
I mean, more than not. Well, do you know somebody that went to both? Because I do have a friend who went to both, and actually
my
he preferred.
Girlfriend went to all girls.
What do you mean went to both?
He was at a public school for 2 years.
He was at an all boys school. Then he went to an all girls school.
He loved them both.
Okay.
No, he went to a public school and then he went to an all boys school.
Okay.
And he preferred the all boys school.
I went 9 years. Well, I didn't go to an all boys school, but I did do a very very strict Catholic school for nine years, and then freshman year in high school, I went to public school.
So that might be the thing. A very strict
Catholic. Shock to the system.
I think that's still dramatically different than all one gender.
It is.
I agree.
I think it's probably worse, actually, because we had friends who went to an all boys like Jesuit school, which is a lot different than all boys.
Really
Franciscan
it really
school
fucked,
was very.
Yeah.
It was very not liberal, but not that intense. We had comparative religions. You weren't stuck on morality. It was very loose as far as like how hardcore Catholic it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't really at
ours
all.
Ours was very strict. The teachers were nuns.
Yeah, that would be intense.
Really
quickly. I'm totally against. I think that fucks up kids.
Yeah.
How did we get off on this?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Brought it up. It's on your.
No, I think I found out he went to, and I wanted to.
You wanted to dig in?
No, I should find numbers. I'd be curious as to what the research is on this, because obviously it's all anecdotal.
Yeah, but ultimately, what it comes down to is, I want my kid to have as average a public life as possible,
and as grotesque a private life.
Well, just
like, I want to come down. I want to see candles in the form of a pentagram. I want to see a skinned.
Is that
deer.
Your philosophy? You want your kid to have the normal is the thing to go for. As far as, like, social interaction.
It, like, in retrospect, my greatest regrets is not my parents not forcing me to, like, do the normal things growing up. But maybe, on the flip side, maybe that's how I turned out who I am.
I was about to say, because I don't think that's a good thing to aspire for your kids, actually.
Now that I mention, you know what? I'm gonna do the weirdest shit.
I think it's interesting people who take their kids traveling with them their whole life. Like, they never go to a normal school.
I was about to say, raise my kids on a boat, like, on an
oil
rig.
People do that. I don't think there's anything.
Like on an oil rig.
I don't know if going to public school makes. Let's put it this way: the vast majority of the world goes to multi-gender public school.
Eight to nine genders,
transgender.
At least 8 to 9 gender school, and everybody. I would say that population is equally fucked up left and right. Right. Like, so I don't know if
I want to raise my kid in a jungle hut.
But
in the high desert. But with a pet dolphin in a pool
so
next
you,
to
can
the
you technically
jungle
call
hut
it
desert.
A jungle hut if it's built in the desert?
Well, there'd be a palm tree in front.
It might be inflatable desk,
maybe.
But
yeah.
It's still a palm tree.
All right, I'll let it go.
You want raised Lawrence of Arabia, basically. Lawrence of Arabia meets
No, I do
Free
tend
Willy.
To find that like where you're raised geographically tends to decide how strange you are. And there is nobody stranger than A, Florida, and B, the high desert, like Death Valley. Like, you're raised in Death Valley, you're coming out of there weird.
Do you know anyone who was raised in the desert?
It's just a cloud of meth,
actually.
And they're
and
weird?
Sand.
They're fucking crazy, dude.
I believe
it. They're awesome. Like, they're amazing. They're super geniuses, but they're nuts. Like, we're talking, like, government spy neurologist super person. Like, you're just like, where? I made a crack. I was like, yeah, you're weird if you come from the high desert. He's like, it's funny you mentioned that. I was raised there. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, crazy man.
It's like, I know exactly what you're thinking right now.
Yeah, but Florida. No, Florida's number one. That's where all the, Ryan Rothenberger,
place.
Who will be a
guest
on To the Fucking Future eventually.
Oh, yeah. Florida is,
You guys ever go
things.
To the Twitter Florida Man? Florida Man Twitter?
No.
It's just, a different. It's just adjusted once a day, Florida Man will tweet a story about a random man in Florida. Like from that day, that's fucking insane.
Oh, it's such a good idea for a novelty Twitter account.
I'm looking that up.
Yeah.
Dead air.
Dead air.
I want to talk about taxes.
Yes.
What? I don't.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Because I'm just frustrated.
Who's
how to pay
our audience, by the way?
Yeah, kids who don't pay taxes.
25-year-old Tea Party members.
Yeah.
Wait, Logan,
like
I want to hear. I do,
here.
Hold on. I want to hear Logan's unique take.
You guys want to hear what he wants to talk about
on
the taxes. What do you want? What did you want to talk about?
Do you disagree
clearly
with them
you had
entirely?
A story.
No, I don't have. I just want to talk about it because
no,
I'm really
let me ask
what do you want taxes on a margin completely?
What?
Let's get real here. You want to talk about taxes? Let's get into economic theory. What do you think?
Let's back up for a second. Here's something, before we get into that, here's something that I'm curious about. Because you're too heady, Matt. I want to back it up for a little bit. What do you think would happen if we get to a point where of the taxes you pay, let's say 25% of it is set up so that you pick? So there's categories, obviously. So you can say schools, roads, infrastructure, defense, whatever. And maybe it's tiered out. But you get 25% that you get to pick and you get to choose where that goes.
It would be a bad idea.
That's a terrible idea.
I think
people are stupid.
Yes.
People make poor decisions. That's why you elect people smarter than you.
But the research constantly shows that people in a group, in a large aggregate, are way smarter in the group decision sense than a single individual person.
And that's what you do in a democracy is that you elect a guy who runs on a platform that says, I'm going to build more roads and schools, and you elect that gentleman to spend those tax dollars appropriately.
And you know
that's
what you mean.
The system we have.
What do you mean by that? That's an incredibly vague statement that I don't know that I've heard opposite or various things depending on what you're talking about. People in a group.
People.
Because mob mentality or groupthink or how polls are done, how they move towards kind of like a mediocre aggregate.
That's what it is. That people find that the average of, it's the old statistics class experiment that they always do. That's the fucking the jelly beans thing, right? Or the price of a cow.
The problem is that people have no information essentially as far as where taxes are used, what that actually means, how they're spent.
I'm not saying that's a huge amount. And by the way, you guys, it's insane that both of you guys immediately jumped on this, when this is an idea that's not only espoused by dumb old Freddy here, but by prominent economists.
I'm sure. But it's 25% that people choose.
No, not 25. It's a percentage, a portion of your taxes that you get. My point is this. Taxes, I feel like, would be less onerous of a thing if you actually had the sense that you were actually directing what you were doing somewhere, somehow.
I have an entirely different proposition. What percentage would your taxes are? Is it 15%?
It depends. There's the California tax. There's federal tax.
In general, what percentage would you say you're at?
It's like 30%.
You guys must make way more than I do.
No, it's like, I mean, we won't say how much, but no, it's like normal job. Like you're talking about like $20 an hour. You get to maybe it's different because we're self-employed.
We pay a self-employment tax.
We're supposed to be eligible for far more benefits, and there's supposed to be more leeway, but. That hasn't proven true the last 2 years.
Whatever percentage you're supposed to owe the government, instead of paying it out of pocket, you had to put that much time towards a public service.
I think that's a fair idea if you're allowed the option.
Well, define public service, like tarring roads, teaching our students.
Whatever it is. Your option. I assume it's either you go and become a volunteer firefighter for 20% of your time.
One out of five work days.
You're doing a public service thing.
You have to dedicate an entire workday?
Sure.
I'd probably end up using my...
But no taxes.
At that point...
I'd use my extra money to hire somebody to do my job for me.
Well, the American way.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that.
It's your option. You would just pay the taxes.
Exactly. But what if that person hires someone to do his tax amount... You see what I'm saying?
So really, it's like when that guy outsourced his coding job to that Chinese vendor.
Yeah, exactly. But time
is money, so it's...
Exactly.
How about this one? What if you had juries that were professional juries that were paid members of the public that, you know, it's like maybe a 4-year gig or an 8-year gig?
I feel like I've heard studies on this. I don't know, like, that they end up choosing better.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I like the idea of it just being all these old wise men.
Yeah, it's just the Magi.
All of them blind. Just like all these blind old soothsayers.
When they're done, they just put their hands out and hold each other's hands and look up to the sky. And then they just bleed out their noses
onto yes
the
or no.
The Magi have spoken. It's like a trough that funnels its blood down like a thing. And
it goes left or right.
I think we have a new judicial system.
The sound of a crusty tuning fork.
Yes. They all just hum sine waves that shatter the glass of a yes or no
just
maze.
Giant stone doors slowly turning like...
How can you fight that if you're sitting on that and then like 10 blind men bleeding from their eyes said guilty? Like, your response would be like, I guess
your
I
lawyer
am.
Turn over. Sorry, we tried.
Mark it down, gentlemen. 45 seconds ago was the point at which the alcohol started to kick in.
Really quickly, so if we don't want to talk about taxes, I got something else here I want to talk about.
Okay.
Sunglasses.
Okay. Good. Go.
What do you guys think about him?
Like, I think that we're coming. Sunglasses. I think we're coming to. Well, first of all, I wear glasses.
I love that Freddie just jumped into this.
I got thoughts. First of all, I have glasses, so I can't really wear sunglasses. And they're like, "Well, you get prescription sunglasses." Like, guess what? Guess how fucking expensive it is when your prescription sucks so hard.
What about those ones that flip open like that sweet show from the 90s?
Is it a flip open? And by the way, I've never met anybody with transitions lenses, the ones that change like to dark when it's outside and light when it's inside. I've never met anybody who had those and was a well-balanced individual. Like, those two things
I know
do
like
not go
eight.
Hand in hand.
I know like eight of those.
Who are not well-balanced individuals.
Who are all super well-balanced.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
I want to meet them because I've never seen... I've my entire life, I've never seen someone with transition lenses not be kind of a weirdo.
Have you tried them?
No. Why would I want to be a weirdo?
Why? That's the future, brother. Transition lenses.
That's pretty cool.
No, you look
your
stupid.
Your Google glasses, 3 years from now, when they're off the shelf, they'll be transition lenses.
Yeah.
Well, transition lenses have been around since the 90s.
Oh, see,
dude.
Now it's cool. When it's a Google glass,
no.
Perfectly
transition
okay.
lenses have been around for a while.
No,
they
I know that.
Caught on.
I'm just saying your future technologies will have that.
No way.
Built in.
Can you get transition contacts? Like, when I go outside, can I just have my eyeballs turn black?
That's a really interesting idea.
It'd just be like probably. The guitar from Limp Bizkit.
Actually, well... Most contacts aren't glass anymore.
Remember that guy? Remember how many cool contact lenses he had?
That's true. He had a little like carrying case sponsored by Acuvue.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. So I can't really wear glasses, but glasses has totally gotten down this path, and I thought that it would turn around by this point, but still in that weird like, hey, let's do giant bug-eyed glasses. That's cool right now.
That's a big
thing. On the female side. Yeah. And I thought that it would turn around by this point, but it's not. It's still
it
going.
Did. It was called a cycle of fashion. They were big for a moment.
No, they're
and
still
they dropped
big.
Out.
No, they're still big.
They dropped out for a bit, and then they came back, and...
To be fair,
fashion
you want your
quickly.
Glasses to be as big as possible. That's
they
like,
should be
that's
big, theoretically, as far as like how for them to work.
You want like Oculus Rift style.
Like yours are like if you just talk about sheer like
oh yeah
well,
sheer
like how good they are. Those are bad glasses.
Oh yeah, they're
right?
Horrible glasses. Technically,
they're only like half glasses.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, like my peripheral vision is quite blurry right now.
You just have a bar through the middle of your vision.
Yeah, right now there's a lot of blurry things around.
Could you just be in like a diving helmet? Would that be the best? Possible.
Just a giant single lens.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Does that even work?
A single goggle.
No.
No, it wouldn't work.
Because it's only, where is it focusing? Is it like some like vaguely boob-shaped glass helmet that you're wearing that focuses it into?
You need like two
I do like that you have like boob glasses. Just like one giant sheet of glass. It just looks like a bust on your face.
Hey, guys!
Welcome to the future. But no, so sunglasses. Specifically, so here's the thing. There's a fine line between looking totally rad in sunglasses and looking like an emotionless douche.
Yeah, douche.
And it's like, where is that? Like, where is that line?
That line is crossed when you paint Harley Davidson on the side.
Well, it's such a strange thing that like the idea of like obscuring a part of your face is like pretty, if done correctly, is pretty universally recognized. Like, that's fucking cool.
Well,
like, no matter what
culture
you're in,
you're tinting the windows to your soul.
What do you think the primitive
mystery?
Equivalent would have been
the primitive equivalent
sunglasses.
was the sun blindness glasses that like the Eskimos wore. Like they were the original cool.
Oh,
dudes.
With the slit.
Yeah, those little like tiny slits, and then Kanye
That's
West
cool.
brought them back.
That is
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
like I think you're gonna say when people used to put mastodon heads on their head.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or like big, or like big, like sombrero type stuff that you can tilt down over your eyes so you can't see your face.
It's cowboy hats.
Now, you never see the cowboy hat with the sunglasses. By the way, is
you
it
do.
Over?
Yeah, like sheriffs and shit.
No, no, no. I'm talking about Clint Eastwood.
Like built in?
Like think
built
like
built in.
Is that what you're talking about?
Like, I want to see a Western like Clint Eastwood and he has like a big, you know, like sombrero style, like, you know, hat and the sunglasses.
Well, they serve the same purpose.
Texas, like a Texas sheriff, man.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a 10-gallon hat and some solid gold blue blockers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you guys wear sunglasses?
No. I have a pair in my car when I'm on the 10 heading west. I throw my glasses on.
Yeah,
I can't keep track of them.
Physically unable.
How cool do you think you looked, Des?
Can I answer that for you?
Yes,
you look really cool.
Oh, thank you.
Are they like those little bug-eyed Oakleys, or are they like big old aviators? Or
no, they're like the classic Ray-Ban, like the smaller variation.
Yeah, those are pretty lame.
Thanks, Logan.
Do you guys remember the Bole glasses? That was like the ski glasses. That was like the weird, super long, giant
like Star
glasses.
Trek,
the
like,
Star Trek, almost half Star Trek. It looks like just a really flanged out. And it was always like rainbow tinted.
Oh,
like,
yeah, the LeVar Burtons.
The LeVar Burtons. How cool those were for just a moment. I'm still waiting for those to make the comeback.
They
the
will.
Ski glasses.
I had
that
a pair of those.
Around.
You couldn't see out of them. They were just rainbow tint. You couldn't see out, but they looked crazy.
I remember when Oakley came out. I remember when I was in school, in like high school or middle school, and they're like, Oakley came out with a pair of bulletproof sunglasses. That was a big deal. It was like, everyone's like, it's bulletproof.
It's going to shoot you in the eye.
Exactly. It was like, number one. And I was like,
what if they miss your eyeball and shoot slightly below into your cheek or forehead?
Then you're dead. Then you've died.
That's a great
idea.
From
a hole in your... But should it come towards your eye, you'd be okay.
Well, you could always just move. Just move your head a little bit.
You use it as a blocking mechanism.
Yeah, direct your eye as a shield.
So, Matt, why don't you wear sunglasses, dude? Like, are you insecure about your eyeballs?
No, I'm being serious. I lose track of them.
They're on your face,
outside,
they're on your face.
But then if I go inside, I have to take them off or they're uncomfortable or
you
whatever.
You flip them up on top of
outside
your forehead.
Of what outside of my pants and my shirt, I'll lose whatever else we're talking about. So,
you thought about doing, like, the reading glasses-esque, like, little band around them so they just sit around your chest?
I would be fine with that. I'm pretty shameless as far as I don't care what I'm wearing.
I think maybe the issue is you just don't see the sun ever.
That's part of it.
So you just don't have any need for sunglasses.
Yeah. I should get some clip-ons that just flip down.
I agree with that, Freddie.
Just some clip-on sunglasses.
Absolutely. The ones that you can flip open so you can act surprised in situations. Like, say, what? And then you flip them open.
Yeah, and then it's like, time to be cool.
I'm flipping open my glasses. And before we wrap up the podcast today, I'd like to follow up, actually, on Logan's contest from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. Has anyone submitted...
There, I have
new intro songs? Because I noticed we still have the same one. I saw one.
I saw one intro song. I did see actually a number. What the musical challenge didn't quite titillate our viewers quite as much as the prospect of drawing a hamburger eating
the
itself.
The Ex Libris.
Which there were quite a few. And one actually, the most grotesque one, my favorite one.
The last one you sent me was fantastic.
It took the strange tack. Instead of like some sort of Ouroboros style like hamburger eating itself, some people took the idea of like taking a hamburger, eating a hamburger, which is not true. That's cannibalism. It's hamburger cannibalism. What we want was a hamburger self-cannibalizing, eating itself. Yes. What it did was, it was a hamburger and in the bun, there were teeth, and it was chomping down on its own middle meat section.
On its own, like, mouth. His mouth was eating itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic.
It was a different take on it. It was quite creative.
So I was reading an article about the creation of the Lunchables.
I was heading for the end of the podcast. Yeah. And Logan took a hard right turn to Lunchables territory.
Well, here we go. So the way when they made Lunchables after they had
By the way, Lunchables, just like CPK, always a better idea before you actually do it.
Well, it was a really interesting article. It was just about all the processed food industry, which was very depressing. But they were talking about like how, I guess, we discovered red meat was terrible, and they're like, oh my God, how are we going to offload all this bologna now?
And so they're like, is there a bologna surplus?
This was in the 80s. Okay. And so they started
There was.
They interviewed all these housewives and moms, and the big thing that came back was like moms losing their shit in the morning about getting the lunch ready. And so like, okay, so we need to just make a prepared lunch. And the reason that's crackers and bologna, Lunchables are still around, right? Like,
Definitely.
Lunchables and Capri Sun.
The reason that's crackers is because those things sit around for like a year on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So white bread just doesn't keep. That's why it's crackers.
Especially when you pack it in a plastic case with some bologna.
Well, what was interesting was they had all the components and they're like, all right, now it's time to figure out what this package is like. And then they literally just had like a bunch of plastic and scissors and like glue and they just like chilled out in a hotel room for a day and just like played around with the arts and crafts until they had created the Lunchables package. And so what I propose is we buy 100 hamburgers from McDonald's.
Okay.
And rent a Motel 6 room and just do this right.
Get Lunchables done.
I don't know what would happen.
Well, let's make a hamburger eating itself.
What's your end game?
Okay. I'm making Lunchables.
If you guys are willing to put some money down, I'm glad to hang out with 100 hamburgers in a Motel 6 room and
It's almost like an interpretive art project. It's just Logan sitting.
If you want to put some plexiglass in front of that door and people can come observe.
That's like a great opening line to some fantastic joke. 100 hamburgers eating themselves
in a the
Motel
weirdest
6
date idea ever.
Yeah.
Come to my Motel 6.
Bring 100 hamburgers to my Motel 6.
Hey, babe. I got 100 hamburgers in Motel 6 room. Motel 6 room.
Motel 6
room. This is my Motel 6 room.
Arts and crafts.
But I'm just saying, if you guys want to put it up, I'm happy to start posing those burgers with toothpicks and hot glue.
This is so gross, and he would never do this.
I totally would. What are you talking about?
If I was like, Logan, I'm on the Motel 6 off Sepulveda. I got 100 McDonald's hamburgers at Core Pound. They screwed up. Don't worry about it. I'll probably be eating it by the time you get here. But get over here, bring your hot glue gun, and we're going to do this right. Get some googly eyes from Joann's before you show up.
I wouldn't need to send a Joann's. I always have googly eyes in my car.
Arts and Crafts and Motel 6. Like, Motel that only 6. Says serial killer. There's no other way you can think of those two things.
Yeah. But we take a black and white photo, posterize it, and bam, you got your logo.
Sounds it could good. Be like it could be like the what's the Shepherd Fairey like style, like, oh, it could become a new icon for a generation.
Yeah, generation be like Andre the Giant, like we'd see in Japan and stuff, just the hamburger eating itself. Be like, where did that come
so
from?
So kawaii.
So kawaii.
Well, that was a great podcast, everybody. That sounds like the end.
Yeah,
if I've ever heard.
Really
it.
Quickly, I want to leave with a line.
It's not the end yet.
I was looking on my iPhone. I want you guys to all respond to a line I found on my iPhone in my notes section.
Okay. This could be a good repeating segment.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah, this is good.
Okay.
Immortality, dash, an excess of pleasure. Hey, what the fuck was I writing? MP, your thoughts.
Is this like what you want for yourself? Like,
I don't know.
What do I?
This is my notes. Like, it's right next to like to-do list and grocery shopping. It's just an immortality. I think, an excess of pleasure.
I think you just named the new Trojan brand condom. And subtitle. Immortality.
That is a brilliant
right?
idea.
Immortality. Access of pleasure. Access of
Jesus Christ.
What are you...
You know what? All I remember is when I was writing this, I was at Soup Plantation.
Were you sitting there thinking, like, what if I lived forever and I was here?
And I was here at this wonderful buffet filled with salads, fresh selections.
and a bunch of bread-related things.
And it's a brilliant idea for a moment, and then...
Who knows?
Maybe it's too much.
That's a good. No, that's
maybe
good.
Immortality is a little too much.
It's an excess.
It's a bit excess.
I think that's how we should end every podcast, as a note from Logan.
Notes from Logan. Notes from, that's the entire podcast is notes from Logan.
It's true.
Because we should change the name actually, or just repost.
Yeah,
notes from Logan.
Notes from Logan.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
that was fun.
Thank you for joining us, everybody.
Hey, really quickly.
God damn it.
Cut.
Really quickly. No, don't cut.
No, really cut. No, we're still in it.
How are you guys doing?
Cut.
No, but really, how are you guys doing?
I'll 10 seconds, very quickly. We finished up. Tonight's the last night just to finish up the first assemblies of all the VGHS episodes. We're very excited about them. The shortest VGHS episode is longer than...
It's like 25 minutes long.
It's longer than the longest one.
Should we know, Matt hasn't slept for how many days?
No, I've slept. It's not very much. None of us have just slept
Absolutely
very much.
Absolutely not.
We've
I'm
been
very
cranking
exhausted.
Through these edits. So, it's looking very good. Like, one of the episodes is like 35 minutes long. It's going to
be
insane.
So, are those all going to get cut down?
I assume
they are.
No. Well, they'll get trimmed. They'll change.
They'll probably lose an average of, what, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Are you guys putting it like an artificial time limitation on yourself?
No, none.
No.
Isn't there some saying about, like, art is born from limitations or something?
There's plenty of other limitations
we have. There's many other limitations that we're dealing
like
with.
Like what limitations?
Like the limitations we had when we shot the show.
Yeah. Budget, how long you can actually shoot it. Like, the episodes aren't limited so that we can
and
make
Logan,
certain stories longer.
Hard drive size, come
hard
on.
Hard drive size.
Anyway, thanks everybody for checking us out. We are on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a rating. It'll help
give
us.
Give us
out.
A yeah, just give,
give us
a
rating on the whole thing.
Give
though,
us an
not
extra
this
star,
one, but not on this one though.
Yeah,
this
one felt slow.
Give us a rating on them in general.
We should maybe you could. Well, if you have your iPhone, you can play it back at 2x speed.
That's true. It actually
just flies through it. Yeah.
And if you guys don't like an episode, just be constructive about it. Say, hey, guys, I didn't like the last one, but I know you can do better next time.
If it sucked, I mean, that's okay.
We're getting into downer territory.
Here's the thing. If we have a 5-star rating a week from now and 80 reviews, Dez is going to take a photo of himself.
Of myself.
Wearing
a lion's hide.
Wearing a whole lion's
hide. A whole lion's hide.
But skin tight.
Eating a hamburger.
Eating a hamburger. But that hamburger is eating itself. But that hamburger is eating death.
Okay, we're
but
done.
It's dressed
we're done.
Like a zebra. I'm really mind-blowing yes. right now.
It's crazy because I had a dream about that.
Alex, just cut it off. We're done. Really, Alex, just cut it off. Just cut it off. Fade the music in.
Give me an extra
fade the music in right now. Just fade it in.
Thanks, everyone.